About 6:30.
Maybe.
I'd like to call this meeting for the Public Works Committee meeting to order on Monday, March 6, 2023. Chair is here, Counselor Thomas is here, and I've not heard a word from Counselor Gamby. Is there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, sir. I would like to add the public works fence to item number 10. I don't have an AIS because we just got this today, so we're just gonna wing it here.
Okay.
I have enough information.
Perfect. Can I get approval of the minutes for January 9th, 2023?
Yes, I am.
Being said, the minutes are approved. Do we have anybody on this listening for public comment?
No, sir.
Okay, we will move on with that. Counselor Thomas, do you have any comments tonight?
No, not yet.
I don't.
Not at this time, anyway.
I don't either at this time, so we'll move on to budget review.
Okay, so if it's that time of the year, I'd like to get at least the first draft of the budget in front of you. It may tweak a little bit, but it won't change much from here. And we'll just kind of start on the first page, which is building, and I'm just gonna highlight the big changes like I normally do, right? So, if you look at plumbing permit fees, I jumped that up from what was budgeted last year was $10,000, and I bumped that to 20 based on what we did this year and what's kind of in the works for buildings already, so. And then building permit admin fees, I bumped from 5,000 to 10,000. And then admin on SDC fees, we bumped that from 7 to 15 because we're gonna come in at 19 this year. I'm being a little conservative, not going clear to the 20, but it's close. And then the other revenue, we bumped it to 2,000 just because we came in a little bit above. So now, once we get into the expense part of it, you'll see where direct wages went up a bit. Not a lot, but a bit. That number may actually go down based on who we hire for Russ's position, because Russ is gonna retire in May. So depending on what the person has for qualifications, who comes in, that number could go down a little bit, but not terrible. So if you flip to the next page, you'll see fuel, oil, and tires, we bumped significantly. We budgeted 400 last year. I budgeted 1,800 for next year because the price of fuel is so crazy. And then internet, Mike is working on these numbers. We bumped it to 2,000 just because there was somebody pulling some numbers out of there that should have been pulled out of somewhere else. So when I did this budget, I didn't know that, so I bumped this to 2,000. That number may come down a little bit. And then if you jump down to office equipment lease, are you caught up with us, Counselor Gamby?
Thank you.
We bumped that up to 1,600 because we got the new plotter, and there's a little additional information or cost in that new plotter. And then, of course, the admin administrative charges and the public works charges both went up a little bit. So not terrible, but they did jump a little bit. That's really the major changes for building at this time.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
Before we go any further, though, you said you bumped it up, which you did, for fuel, oil, and tires.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be enough to really work with, just in case?
For that department, it will be.
Okay.
Because that's one vehicle.
Okay.
Okay. Because I'm just concerned about that, like you are, because you never know which way it's going to go on the price of tires.
Right. So the next section is parks, and we're actually going to skip it because Jason's going to cover it tomorrow in CSC CDC. So if you skip all the way to streets, which is page 5 of 52, you can go start there. And actually, some numbers came in here a little bit better as of today, so my ending fund balance is actually better than what it says on here, so. So, we're gonna jump down to direct wages where it says 64,500. That's actually gonna be 82,700. We made that change late Friday and I wasn't able to get it into the packet. Because we reallocated the Parks and Open Spaces supervisor's position to Parks and Streets where it should be instead of Water Sewer Streets. So that went up a bit. And then, of course, fuel, oil, and tires, we jumped that from 15 to 18,000 based on what we've seen this year. And then if you jump all the way down to the office equipment lease, you'll see where that bumped up to because of that plotter. Then, we got a sheet messed up here somewhere. See if I can figure out where I screwed up here. See if I can find my spot. Okay. Where are you guys at? What page are you guys on?
After page four, I go to page seven. I don't find a page five.
What page are you on, Gary? What are you looking at now?
Well, I've got a handful of sheets from Parks in my hand here. So we should.
Maybe they're just in your reimbursements.
Should be 6 of 52.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I grabbed a bunch of the Parks ones and pulled them back over in front of me, so messed me up a bit. Are you guys there? 6 of 52?
Yes.
Okay, so the only thing on that one, you'll see an admin charge that went up a little bit and a public works admin charge that went up a little bit. And then for the transfer to streets this year, we're transferring $100,000 over the streets. So if you flip that page over, you'll see streets capital, and you'll see on the bottom of the first section where it says the transfer from streets, you'll see that $100,000 go in there. And then everything down on the bottom is pretty much the same as I budget every year, a couple hundred thousand for street refurbishment, and then street maintenance program, which is where that ODOT money comes into. So we're pretty much the same as we always are in that fund. So that kind of makes sense there.
Yep.
And then street system development, you'll see that I bumped what we thought we were gonna get. I budgeted $10,000 last year. We got $46,000 as of January. So I bumped that to 50,000. Being a little conservative, we'll probably get more than that if everybody continues to build the way they are, but you never know. And then if you flip that over, you should be at the bike path reserve fund. And there was no changes to that significantly. We still budgeted $50,000 to continue to do that bike path work. And then the Prairie Road Street Improvement Fund. This is that fund that got started when Ross Murray built that over there, and there was nowhere to build a sidewalk to, so we made him put some money into an account for us. So you'll see what my beginning fund balance is 274.8. The 218 that I've highlighted, that's what was originally put in that account. So you can kind of see how that account's growing over the time. Then we can jump into water. Look at the water fund. You'll see where direct wages went up a little bit, first highlighted piece. And then fuel, oil, and tires, I bumped to 23,000 from 10.5 that it was this year. And then, you'll see on merchant fees where they went down, because the merchant fee gets paid to Tyler's, to our online payment now. We don't have to pay those out at the end of the year, so that number went down a bit. And then, if you jump over to the next page, you'll see where admin fees and public works administration fees went up a little bit. And then if you look at the transfer, you'll see them transferring $281,000 into streets for, streets capital for work. Any questions on that one so far? No?
Don't have any.
If you flip that page, you should go to water capital projects. You'll see on the first highlighted one, the transfer from water of $62,000. The second highlighted one is a transfer from water for $50,000. And then the third one's the transfer for $169,000, which gets me to that $218,000 that I'm transferring over. Okay. Then the next line down, professional services, we bumped from $10,000 to $50,000 just because we've got kind of the well work going on and some other water work going on. And we're kind of pounding on HBH to get some projects done for us. So the next line is the CEP projects, which is $86,470 worth of CEP projects that will be done this year. Then right underneath that is the $50,000 that we put aside for master plan projects. And then this next CEP projects line, this is $50,000. I put $50,000 in there just in case we do go out for rate study. I want to make sure there's money there to do that if we're going to do that. If we don't, it stays there. It's no big deal. But I'd rather budget for it and not have it happen than budget for it and you guys want it to happen. So. And then we bumped up the operating system and repair and maintenance from $20,000 to $100,000 because we've got a bunch of meters and MXUs that need to be replaced. So. And then you'll see on the new service install, I bumped that from $10,000 to $33,000 just because of all the new houses that are coming in. That's a money in, money out line item. So if they pay for a meter, we put a meter in. So if they say it only comes up to $25,000, then we don't spend $25,000. We don't spend $33,000. So it's a money in, money out. And then next page is water system development. And we have a decent beginning fund balance of 205. I bumped it from 19.2 to 40,000 for system development fees for the next year. And then for water system expansion, I put 100,000 over there, and that's really a placeholder because we don't have any expansion in mind just yet, but we could use it if we were to expand a 8-inch water line to a 10-inch water line. I could pay for that extra 2 inches out of that fund. I can't pay for the whole thing, but I could pay for 2 inches. Which kind of kills me, but that's the way it is. The next sheet would be a sewer fund. And again, the direct wages goes up a little bit like it does every year. And if you jump down to fuel, oil, and tires, we jumped that from 10 to 19,000. And then again, the merchant fees went down. And I put 200 in there just because there may be some little fee for building or something that we have to pay. And then travel and training, it's kind of our off year of travel and training where we don't spend as much money, so we dropped that down from 5,000 to 2,500. And then this is the one that jumped a lot. The next line is treatment chemicals. They have raised the price 4 times in the last year of treatment chemicals for them. So we went from 80,000, which was budgeted last year, and we were predicting $170,000 in treatment chemicals next year. And then if you jump down again, it's the admin fee and the public works admin fee. And then if you go to the very last one, you'll see a transfer to sewer for $259,000. Questions, concerns yet? No? I'm gonna keep rambling on then. So next page will be the sewer capital. If you look at the transfer from sewer, you'll see the 259 that came in. You'll see that we left professional services the same at 600,000, but I bumped system improvements from 200 to 400,000. Most of what we're doing lagoon-wise will come out of SDCs, but I want to make sure that we cover our butt if there's something that's not covered by SDCs, so I bumped that up just a little bit. And then equipment purchase, you'll see that $600,000, that was the money that we set aside for a vac truck, right? So we've been saving that money, and now Jeremy and I are gonna get real serious about starting to look for a vac truck, because ours is 2007. And then the next page is system development fees.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Hey, so under professional services, it said 600,000, and then so far we're at 39,000. And then like in those other years on the sheet here, it said we, you know, 289 in 21 and 128 in 22.
Right.
How come we're so low on year to date in that one? And what's the thing we're going to be hiring out that's going to cost so much more than normal years?
Year to date on that one, because most of the sewer work has been done for the lagoon project, so most of that's coming out of the SDC fund.
Mm-hmm.
This one we bumped to 600,000 because as soon as I can get them to give me a break, I want them to start working on moving 10th and Rose Pump Station. So 10th and Rose Pump Station is going to move down to the lot that we own.
By the new subdivision,
we own that lot right on the corner. So I want to make sure there's enough money in there to cover all the engineering costs and design work for that. So.
Thank you.
To help?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so system development fees. Of course, what you'll see a big change there is we budgeted $3 million over the expense line item because we're really moving fast on this pre-design, and I want to make sure there's enough money there to cover anything that we need to do in that. For that expansion of the lagoon. So, like, the last thing I take you guys was $62,000 for delineation study. So, we're gonna start chipping big chunks out of this fund, and I wanna make sure there's enough money there to cover that. And we start to take that up. That closer, in-depth look at our wastewater treatment plant. Okay, sanitation. This is my ugly one right now. So direct wages went up, and then fuel, oil, and tires went up almost double what I budgeted last year. And then tipping fees went up by an additional $40,000+, and they just raised rates again. So we bumped that to $261,000. Next page, you'll see those two admin fees that went up just a touch, and then you'll see a transfer into sanitation capital for $117,500, and that's based off of our truck replacement plan. Now, the downside to this fund right now is with all those increased costs this year, it dropped my ending fund balance down to $287,800. Still enough to make what we need to make for our materials and services and wages to start, but it's a pretty significant drop from where we started. So one of the reasons when Andrea asked me if you were going to go for a rate study, when would you do it, and I said this year, that's one of the reasons, because you know, we only did a 2% rate increase in sanitation 5 years ago. So when we get years like this where the economy just skyrockets on prices, it kind of kills you in that fund, because you're driving trucks to get, you know, 6 to 8 miles a gallon, and
yeah.
you're your truck into Corvallis every day, so gets a little bit expensive. So the next page will be sanitation capital. You'll see the transfer in for 117. You'll see an inter-fund loan for $250,000, which city administrator Canope and I have been talking about borrowing from the general fund to purchase one more side loader truck that we missed last year because we had to buy a rear load truck because somebody decided to put mine in a ditch. So if you jump down to the expense line item, you'll see that in the CEP projects line, that $250,000. That will not buy us a brand new truck. That will buy us a used truck. Even if I want a brand new truck, we're a year out. I mean, we'd have to order it now to get it next year. So they're just not building those chassis very fast. So that's about it for capital on streets or sanitation. So the last one I have is Public Works Administration. And there's not a ton of big changes to that. We bumped postage up from 300 to 600. I'm being a little conservative in case we have to put out flyers like we did last year. Or if there's another flyer that we need to put out. And then printing and advertising, we jumped from 1,000 to 2,000. And that's in the planning side of Public Works Administration, right? So those are the two biggest changes in that section of that. Now, when you see this as a total budget, you're gonna see this all combined together, but we split it out so you can see the difference between planning and our fund, right? So if you jump down to the Public Works Administration one, you'll see a bump in wage a little bit. And then you'll see fuel, oil, and tires went up a couple thousand dollars. And then this internet one for 11.7, this is the one that Mike's been playing with. So that number will go down a little bit. This was because internal services was coding everything to that line item. So when I seen it in January, I'm like, what the hell? So I jacked it way up, and then Mike found where they were miscoding some stuff, so he's trying to correct that now. So you'll see that number go down a little bit. And then on the next page of Public Works Administration, you'll see just a little bump in the administrative charge, and that's pretty much the big changes for Public Works Administration. Happy to answer any questions, or we can go back and cover anything you want to cover. That's a lot of material.
Councilor Gamble, you got any questions?
I don't right now.
Councilor Thomas?
Do we have any grants out there?
We're going to be talking about that here shortly. Okay. Yeah. We actually do have a grant that we're looking at. Okay.
Let's move on to the treatment supervisor job description.
Okay, so this is a request for the committee to review it's a new job description for the treatment supervisor. So when we did the rate study back in 2019, we anticipated having to hire another person for sewer treatment with the upgrade of the plant. And so as we're moving forward with this pre-design, we want to bring that person on this next budget year to get them up to speed with what we do, how we do things, and have them involved with the whole process of the upgrade, so that we're not hiring somebody after we do the upgrade and then they got to come in and learn it all, right? So this job description is basically set up just like the other treatments or the other supervisors positions that we did with the project supervisor and the maintenance supervisor that we passed last year, a year before, a couple years ago. So this would allow me to set up the treatment division just like I've set up those other funds, where this person is the main person that kind of guides them on what they need to do daily, but also is there to help them when they need the help in the field or whatever. Eventually, I would like this person to have at least the sewer treatment stuff in their name. I'd like eventually for them to have both of them. Right now, everybody operates off of my license, and if I'm gone, they operate off of Jeremy's license. So with this person coming on, there will be a requirement for them to get up to those licenses fairly quick, as quickly as they can. It's not that fast. Honestly, it takes a bit of time to get some stuff in there, unless they've already got a lot of time from another place that they work. So our goal is to bring them on after the July. We'd probably start advertising May for a June interview, July start. That would be our anticipation there. So I'm happy to answer any questions about that too. This would be covered under the Ask Me Union. It wouldn't be, they would not have the ability to hire a fire. They'd only have the ability to supervise. Jeremy and I would have, you know, they could recommend. We would also have them do probably their evaluations, because they work with them daily. And so we would try and get them to a spot where they could do their yearly evaluations too, so Jeremy and I aren't having to do those. Question?
I'd like to hear how that's working for you, since we set it up in that way a few years ago, a couple
it's,
years ago.
It's awesome. It's taken a lot of stress off of Jeremy and I to have to guide them daily.
Uh-huh.
We lined out a project. We said, Scott, here's your project. Go price all the parts. Get us a number. We take care of that. He guides his crew out there in the field. I mean, we still meet with them and we talk to them and we guide them, but we don't have to be there daily, hands-on to supervise that job. You know, Scott's got that. And then on the maintenance side, Tyler has done a really good job of getting his guys to a spot where they're very efficient with the maintenance. They're actually the ones doing all the flushing right now, just the maintenance crew. So the project crew is still working on projects. So before that, we were kind of grabbing guys from everywhere to get that done, and we'd have to stop a project. So
yeah,
it's worked really well. I've been really happy with it. I think Jeremy's been really happy with it. So we really like the way it's formatted, which is why we went this way instead of hiring a labor position. You know,
mm-hmm.
Then every division is set up the same. So.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. So if somebody was qualified that already worked for you, would they apply for this?
Probably, yeah. I anticipate both the treatment workers to apply. There is some supervisory requirements that, you know, they'll have to meet. But, yeah, I would imagine both of them will apply for it. And then if they do, then we'll just go out, you know, if they apply and they're the ones we decide to hire, then we'll just go out to a treatment worker next.
Did they change something here where it says tanker endorsement? That can be a Class B license?
Tanker can be Class B. Depending on how much water you put in. Depends on your weight.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions?
I think it's pretty well written. What do you think? Take it back. Take it back.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
So it won't go to council this month, it'll go next month.
Okay, that's fine.
You and I need to talk about those things too. About getting AISs together. Whether you want me to do that in the next couple days. So, next one will be the permit technician job description. So, I don't know if y'all know, but Terry's deciding she's going to semi-retire come June. And with that, she's going to give up all the planning duties that she's been doing. So we looked at, you know, what can we do to replace Terry, and there's really not much. I mean, Terry's pretty knowledgeable in the planning side. We know we don't have the money to hire a full-time planner again. So working with LCOG has been pretty good. They've been pretty responsive to what we need. So we looked at maybe kind of downgrading that to a permit technician. And then, so our ideal person would then take in whatever applications come in. There is some low-level in-house stuff that we can do and sign off on. But there's a lot of stuff that Terry couldn't sign off that we sent to LCOG anyway, right? So Terry will still be here for a while so she can guide Dawn. Still, Don's been working with her for about 4 months now, trying to navigate planning, which is a very weird world. But I approached Dawn because Dawn's pretty savvy, and she's been a really good hire for us, and I asked her if she'd be interested in it. And she kind of was, but wasn't. I said, well, why don't you work with Terry for a little bit and then see how you like it. So she did. She's been working with her for, like I said, 3 or 4 months now, and she's decided it is something that she would want to do. So we would just move her into that position. She would still do the job she's doing today, but then take on this planning role. So we wouldn't be looking at hiring somebody else, but I have to change the job description to match what her job duties would be. So that's the reason this one's in front of you guys today. So we wouldn't be adding any staff, we'd just be changing somebody's title, basically, and having them do other work.
And then supplementing that with LCOG as needed?
Which we do now anyway.
Right, so. But would it be more with Dawn and like with the Dawn and LCOG combination?
No, it's exactly what we do today. But Terry makes more money than Dawn, so it'd actually be a drop in.
That's kind of what I'm wondering about. But then who would do Dawn's old job?
She would still do it. She'll have enough time to do that.
So you probably end up saving money?
Probably a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Terry seems like she's really versatile.
She seems
like she does a lot of different things.
She is. And, you know, I hate to see her go, but I also understand it.
Yeah.
So. But like I said, she will still be around doing some reception stuff at City Hall. So if Dawn's stuck on something, she's always there for help.
Even after June?
Yeah, she's not quitting completely. She's just dropping all the planning stuff and then cutting back to like 4 days a week, I think.
Oh, so she would still be around to kind of
she'll still be around to guide Dawn on certain things if Dawn's stuck or doesn't know. So that's helpful.
Yeah.
So yes, this would just be a new job description for a person that already works here. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But it has to go through you guys and council to be approved before we can do it.
I mean, we send it on to council.
Okay. All righty.
Then we'll talk about the ECWAG.
Yes. So.
Quick, easy way to do it.
Yeah, it's a very long name.
They get called the ECWAG.
Yeah, ECWAG is what they call it.
Yeah.
So this is just an information piece for you guys to kind of know. That way if you hear something about it, you're not like, what's going on? What the heck? So our engineering department, Jeremy, I, Jason Cannell, met with USDA about this emergency and imminent community water assistance grant. Okay, so basically this grant is for water systems under 10,000 people that are in danger of running out of water, lack of better terms, right? So over the past few years, you guys have heard us say our wells have decreased in what they can produce and so on and so on. So we went after this new well, and Jenny with HBH and Jeremy and I were talking one day, and we asked about grant funding, if there was any grant funding available. So she went to work and looking for that grant funding, and USDA said, yeah, we think you guys meet the criteria, let's have a meeting. So we sit down with them, we had a meeting. It sounds to them like we meet all the criteria to get this grant. So we're working on that application right now. And this is a grant for up to $1 million. So if we can pull this off and get that other well done for less than that $1 million, and we could use the rest of that maybe to rehab 11th and Elm, that's kind of our thought process right now. They won't pay for any of the treatment stuff over there, because that water wouldn't necessarily require it. Now, we've done some more testing, so if it comes back where it requires treatment, then they would kick money in for treatment over there. But at this point, they're saying the well looks like it meets all the standards, so they would be willing to pay for the well and some piping, but not the treatment stuff. I don't know that it's gonna cost $1 million to finish that well out, but maybe. I mean, prices now are crazy. But even if it does, it does. Big deal, right? It's free money for us. So we're gonna go through the application process. We're gonna go through everything. I think they said their time frame was 6 months to a year to get funding for it, which will kind of fit into that well timing anyway. So we just wanted to get this in front of you and let you know that we've moved forward with this, and we have the application process that we're starting now. We're hopeful that we do get it and that we can use their money to develop this new well instead of our money.
If we don't put in for them, we never know if we're gonna get them.
Well, and you know, I mean, we know there's grants out there, but we're not big grant people. I mean, Jeremy and I don't write grants. We don't find grants. Jenny with HBH seems to be really good at it, so we're gonna use her as much as we can to find as many grants as we can. So that's my thought process, anyway.
So that sounds like a pretty good question that you guys asked her. Like, where did it come from? Like, what made you think of that?
Jeremy and I have talked about this a lot, where we know there's grants out there, we just don't know how to find them, right? Mm-hmm. So when we were talking about this well, we're like, man, is there any grant funding that we can come up with? We weren't thinking about like an emergency water grant funding, but if it fits the criteria, we'll take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we know there's grants. I mean, there's grants all over. It's just, how do you find them? How do you write the grant? And I've wrote one grant. It took me like 4 months to do, and I turned it in, and they said it wasn't qualified. Mm. So, you know, I'm not much of a grant writer.
Yeah.
But HBH seems to be okay at writing the grant, and Jenny did it. It didn't take her very long to find this. I mean, within a week, she had found this grant. So she was on it.
Well, that seems like a really, really good thing that you guys asked her.
Yes.
I mean,
it was very beneficial for the city.
That could turn out to be a really, so thank you for having that thought wherever it came from.
Yeah.
Because they are very, very picky on their grants. Mm-hmm. If you miss crossing a T, dotting an I, they'll kick it out.
Mm-hmm.
They won't accept it. And it's, yeah.
Well,
did I hear something, or is that just for Eastern Oregon? They're talking about putting a moratorium on more water rights. Is that just for Eastern Oregon?
I haven't heard anything about that here, but when I ask about getting new water rights for a well, my answer last time was, yeah, we can give you new water rights for January and February. Those are the only 2 months you could produce water out of the well. Well, those are the 2 months they don't need water, right? But Jenny's also checking on that, because we're doing this water rights transfer to get the rights to use that well over there. So I talked to her about that, and she goes, well, let me check into that, because I don't think that should be right. But I haven't heard anything back on that yet.
Well, thank you. It is. Any little bit helps.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think that takes us to the public works fence, which is what we wrote in for item number 10, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so with the new laws that are coming out, it will be almost impossible to get somebody off of public land if they decide to camp there. There's no recourse for anybody to remove them. They have every right to camp on public land, for lack of better terms, right? So we've got quite a bit of fencing around public works, but I have a big open space on the south side. And so we had reached out to three companies to bid what that would cost us to fence that off. One company said, we're not even going to bid it. We don't have time for you. And then Oregon Fence and Island Fence came out and bid it. Oregon Fence came in a little bit cheaper than Island Fence, so quite a bit cheaper, about $4,000 cheaper than Island Fence. And this would continue our fence along the back, up the side between us and Davis Cabinets, and then block off all of it to the sidewalk, come back up to the corner of our building. So the only thing that would be open would be basically the parking lot. Everything else would be fenced off. It's expensive, but I don't know that we really should gamble on whether someone pitches a tent there or not. We've wanted to fence it off anyway. This has just kind of pushed it a little faster than we were planning, but like I was telling Counselor Washburn, we have another space that's on a well that we'll be trying to find the money out of next year's budget to fence off too. So we would like to take this to council to get this approved, to get these guys working on this fence so that we can kind of get ahead of this new law and prevent somebody from just setting up camp in our yard there. So there is some money in the sewer fund that can cover this pretty easily. We've got some project money left that we could use for that. I've talked to the city administrator, couldn't help about it. He's all for it. It sucks that we have to do it, but if we don't do it, we could be, you know, tent city over there on that side, which we don't want to see. So that's my pitch. Anyway, if you guys are happy with us moving forward with this, this would be at the next council meeting. So.
And they are camping just behind Davis Cabinets?
Right? Yeah, they're on the other side of the fence right now. Yeah. So we've been kind of watching it. They're growing quickly over there too. It started with one tent, now it's growing up a bit. So.
What about this little lot up here on the north side right there, where you normally park at?
That's all pavement.
No, he's talking about the grass area.
The grass area.
Right here. Over here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of our...
That's kind of that open space that we use for
our yard. I don't know. We've talked about it, but...
I think they're more apt to pitch a tent on the south side than in that green grass right there, you know. Besides, people that walk their dogs and use that every day would probably run them out for us. We wouldn't probably have to, so...
I think it's something we got to do, because we got to get ahead of it, because, I think it's going to get worse and better. Counselor Thomas, you got it?
No, I did see on the news they're trying to give each homeless person $2,000 a month to help them out.
Councilor Denver, you got any thoughts?
So, I think it's a great idea. I'm just wondering, so the one bid is it says $645 and then the other one says $565. And the one that says $565 is actually the higher bid. But I'm just wondering if maybe they would, like Island Fence says it was 565 feet long and Oregon Fence says it was 645 feet. But if it really was 565, maybe Oregon Fence would do it even cheaper.
Yeah, I can have Jeremy check with their numbers.
I'll wheel it off a little better.
They can see what it actually is. Jeremy can wheel it off too. We know
exactly. Well, and I know you're already reviewing all this stuff. I just had the idea maybe if we did go with the lower one, it might get a little lower.
Yeah, I didn't look at footage. I looked to make sure they were apples to apples as far as material that they were using. But yeah.
Just a little idea.
Take a look at it.
Sure. But I think it's a great idea.
Okay. We will get that in front of the council next Tuesday.
I don't know.
That's when I want to move on quickly.
It's going to take a while to get the material.
Okay.
Let's move on to the agenda forecast review then.
So the only changes that I made in it was exactly what we talked about tonight, lacking the fence, because I didn't have that material until this already was out, so I don't have any other changes on it.
My only question is, what major streets are we going to be looking at to maybe resurface this year?
Jeremy's got a list of them. So, Maple from 10th to 12th.
Yeah, Maple from 10th to 12th. The plan is to have that slurry sealed this year. If you look at that, it looks, there's no potholes in it, but it's very cracked up, and we're wanting to get ahead of it before it does turn into, you know, a bad pothole area. It's feel like, I feel like it's one that we can possibly save before we spend a bunch of money on it. You'll be seeing that. Actually, no.
That's under.
That's under, yeah.
Yeah, that's under what they, what happened to the council.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Birch Street.
What's that?
Birch, or Sixth Street.
Yep.
The Birch, where we've done that waterline work, we're looking at maybe slurry sealing that one this year.
Yeah, we're working on some stuff on Birch Street itself, too. An area that the LTD bus kind of broke down the sidewalks and the road base right there, we'll have to fix that and then possibly, hopefully, slurry seal that, tie all that together.
That's going to be fairly, that one's going to be fairly expensive.
That'll be a big one, that'll be a big one, yeah.
What about right out here on Greenwood?
So that is part of a waterline project that we will be doing.
Something I
would like to do it next year.
What's front line?
But with the price of material, we might be having to put that off over a year and save a little more money.
Right, okay, I'm just curious for.
Yeah, HBH designed that for us last year?
Couple years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's ready to go. We had them design that in anticipation of some federal funding that didn't actually happen. So it's ready to go.
There's definitely some point repair we need to do between 6th and 7th just to kind of study it up a little bit, but which we'll do prior to the festival for sure. Probably prior to the cruise, honestly, in June.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Councilor Thomas, do you have anything? Councilor Gambry?
Hey, just where it came up tonight, do you mind just giving me a quick reminder of why we're moving that pump station on 10th?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that pump station is actually too small for what we're serving with it. It has the most starts of any pump station that we have. And there was always a plan to move that pump station down so that later on, if Vine Street ever came in, we could pick up Vine.
Uh-huh.
And then I think the other one down there is what, Walnut? I think it's called Walnut Street. But by moving that one there, we can increase the size of it for more like our flight pump stations, which then would really reduce the amount of starts that it has every time. And then be able to pick up other parts of the city with that. So my guess is that pump station is going to be a little north of $1 million to move.
Huh. Yeah, I remember you talking about that before.
Yeah. It's probably the one that we spend the most time daily on maintenance on, because it starts, each pump starts a little over 100 times a day. So
it's just too small.
Working pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's honestly the one that keeps us up at night for, in a storm event.
Uh-huh.
It's actually the very first one we go to in a storm event.
Yeah, if something happens,
we go there,
it's
going to
overflow first.
Oh, yeah.
During a storm event, the very first guy goes, picks up a generator and goes straight to temp.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I know this has been in the plan for a while. It got fuzzy. Why?
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
No problem.
I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Do you have anything, Councilor Thomas?
No.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to discuss this evening? Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for everybody coming. And with that said, we will adjourn at 7:20.
Okay.
Thank you.